Let's pray now, ask in a moment of silence, asking God to gather Patrick Powers to himself. Lord, our God, the death of our brother Patrick recalls our human condition and the brevity of our lives on earth. But for those who believe in your love, death is not the end, nor does it destroy the bonds that you forge in our lives. We share the faith of your Son's disciples and the hope of the children of God. Bring the light of Christ's resurrection to this time of testing and pain, as we pray for Patrick and for those who love him, through Christ our Lord. Amen. When I got the news of Patrick's passing, I texted Brenda, and I texted her, I'd never met a man better prepared to meet his maker. And I really believe that. Brenda said she found that very consoling. So do I. I think you will too. But I'm a priest, so I'm not going to put somebody in heaven before they might want to be. Let's say, I think Patrick would want us to pray hard for him this evening. So let's do that. One of his favorite scripture verses was Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Patrick knew very well, and he shared with others, that we are saved by Jesus, by Jesus' death on the cross. So let's pray to that Jesus for Patrick this evening. Brenda also told me that some years ago, Patrick read the diary of St. Faustina, and he loved the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And so we're going to sing that now. So John over here are going to lead us in that. So let's pray this chaplet, sing it together, asking Jesus to have mercy on Patrick, forgive his sins, purify his soul, and welcome him into the house of the Father, which he longed and prepared for so well. And let's ask also the grace to share the joy with him of the Heavenly Father's kingdom. So now Karen is going to explain to us how we're going to sing the chaplet together.
Thank you, Father. We have done this chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's about a 20-minute prayer and song many times in this gym, and Patrick had texted well over a year ago to, you know, say, hey, I want to make sure to ask that you all would pray this for me at my wake, and maybe you'll be 90 when that happens, but get it on the calendar now. And we had gone and prayed with him at his home back in May when it seemed that he might be being called soon, and he prayed the whole thing with us, and then at the end said, okay, when you do this at my wake, because he was always working the sound ministry, he said, I'm going to be tuning you all. So I believe that. So the way the chaplet works is it's 5 decades, similar to the rosary, but the women will sing the first half of the prayer on the first and third decades, and the men will respond. And then on the second and the fourth, John will lead the men on the first half, and the women will respond. And then for the fifth decade, we'll sing the entire decade all in unison together. And I will, if you don't have rosary beads with you, I'll raise my hand each time when we finished a decade, and we're going to do the Eternal Father prayer in the middle of each one. So you'll catch on if you haven't done it before. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of all. Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion. compassion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of us. Sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Oh, 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 holy God, oh, 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 holy mighty
I trust.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So we're going to have a time of sharing now for the rest of the evening, and of course we invite all of the family to feel free to come up and to share with Patrick. Brenda has asked certain folks to be able to come up to share about Patrick, and so we'd like to ask that they be given the opportunity to come up first. We have some chairs set up over here to the right where you can kind of queue up for an opportunity to share. And then after they have shared, then anyone is welcome to come up and share what you would like about our dear brother Patrick. My wife, Laurie, and I would just like to just begin. It's hard to put Patrick, his life and his contribution and his friendship into words. I was just thinking back. As Laurie and I were pondering this, and you know, he was always here. I mean, he was always faithful. He was dedicated. He was serving every time and every opportunity that there was a service opportunity. And Patrick and Brenda made a covenant to the Christian Community of God's Delight, and Patrick just lived it every moment of every day, a total giving, a total dedication, and a total love. And at the end of the chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. I mean, those words just echoed everything that Patrick did and said. A total trust in God, our Father. And I was so very blessed to serve and have the opportunity and privilege to be able to work alongside Patrick. The other thing that distinguished Patrick to me was just his joy. He just was smiling and laughing and enjoying life. I can't remember a frown, much less a negative word, coming from him. He just personified joy and happiness, and he brought a smile to my face. And I just asked Lori if she would mind adding a word to emphasize that point.
So I went to go see him a couple of weeks ago, and he was at the Gospel of Life place, and he's laying in the bed, and you know, I'm kind of having a hard time figuring out exactly what he wants and what he doesn't want. And I got one time that he was hot, okay, so I took the blanket off, and then he grabbed my hand and he went like this, and in my head I'm going, what does that mean? What am I supposed to do? And then all of a sudden I looked at him, I said, are you dancing with me? And he got this grin on his face. And so we spent like a minute just going back and forth. And he's just so thoughtful and so considerate. And he was always so smart and so in the moment, and he knew what I liked, And he offered that back to me. And to me, that was Patrick.
Hi, I'm Monica Ashour. I've known Brenda and Patrick since college at Stephen F. Austin State University. I guess a few things that I would like to point out is I've never known anyone to throw a going away party about his own death. So that kind of summarizes Patrick. Patrick Babe is what I call him, and he called me Monica Babe and Brenda Babe. I don't know why we started that, but somebody I was talking to beforehand said he's such a fighter. Yes, indeed. But a better description is he's an ever-ready bunny. He keeps going and going and going, and now he's going somewhere, probably in heaven. So I have a few reflections about the gift that Patrick Powers was to us. And I kind of want to first thank the woman who gave birth to him, Marty. Without you, Marty, we would not be able to be here and to celebrate. And so I'm grateful to you and also to Patrick's father. So I met Brenda and Patrick in the 80s at the Catholic Center at Stephen F. Austin. And it was before they became a pair. And from an early age, when they were growing up, they both loved Jesus, and so it made sense that eventually they got together and got married. And as things progressed, and particularly, fast forward to November 2020, I asked Brenda and Patrick if I could come weekly and to be with him because, you know, he wasn't able to do much by himself anymore. And so, of course, my godson, John Paul, and also Nathan were there the whole time, and Brenda. But I just wanted to be there with him. And so I came to expect three main things every week when I came. Number one, laughter. Number two, tears. And number three, exhorting each other to love God even more deeply. And so let me spin some vignettes for you to kind of paint the picture that y'all already know, but hopefully these are fun. So one time when he was still able to be in a wheelchair, I was pushing him around the neighborhood, and we went by. There's this truck, FedEx truck, and the guy got out of the truck, and he was delivering a package to the door, and we were going right by, and he and I were like, let's do it. We're going to steal the truck together. And I'm like, Patrick, I don't think I'm strong enough to pick you up. But we really, really badly wanted to steal the truck. But we couldn't do it. I wasn't strong enough, and neither was he. Another funny story was one time he was in the hospice in Fort Worth, and we were talking about animals. And I said to him, Patrick, I just don't understand why God made animals. What's the point? And he looked at me. I think he felt like kicking me out of the room. And he said, animals are just amazing and intriguing, is what he said. And I'm like, I don't get it. And then it's about time to go. And Brenda, you were part of the conversation. I don't know if you remember it. And so I'm like, okay, Patrick, I'll see you next Tuesday. And then he said, yeah, and bring me an animal. Yeah, okay. Let's see. And then sometimes I would ask him, like, what advice do you have, like, for engaged couples, because I speak to engaged couples. And he said, number one, don't ever get brain cancer. Number two, don't get paralyzed. Okay. And then he got serious. And one of the things that he said was, he said, I would tell the engaged couples that my wife, Brenda, didn't know what she was signing up for at the altar at our wedding. And it was really wonderful. But then I got brain cancer, but she was with me through thick and thin. And so he said, tell those engaged couples that it can work, but the spouse has to be committed through thick and thin. And then he said, and Brenda loved me to the end. My wife is such a treasure to me. Another thing was tears. So the weird thing about this is that I was supposed to visit him and comfort him, and I would constantly cry, and he would comfort me. And I'm like, there's a reversal of roles here. What's going on? And the week before he died, I was there, and I just started crying again. And he couldn't use the language of the words anymore. Just so with the language of his body, he took me, and he just wiped the tears from my eyes. This man who was dying was loving to the very end. And then one time I said, Patrick, are you afraid of dying? And he goes, no. That's why I lived. To be able to go and see Jesus Christ face to face. So our brother Patrick, he had me write a note that he said, I want you to write this note on construction paper and put it on my bed. Because when I can't speak anymore, when people come and visit me, I want to make sure that they think about this. And what it was is, first of all, about his family. And so, to address the kiddos. So, you, Max, he loved you to the end. Mandy and John Paul, Nathan, Patrick, and the tag along, Amanda Colleen, Katie, and of course, Michael and Sarah. So he wanted all of us to know, and so he said, will you write this note? And it said something to the effect of, I will die soon, and I will see Jesus. And then he said, which I think he says to all of us, what are you doing to make sure that you go there too? Thank you.
Hello, hello. We should have let you go first. I know better than to follow Monica.
What?
Well,
I was hoping that I
wouldn't
get
it. Yeah. It's fine. Do you need a teaser? Okay. So, James and Kathleen.
That's all.
You all look very, very nice. And Patrick looks amazing. I have nice clothes, too. But when I was looking at those nice clothes...
okay.
All I could think about was I can reach you guys. All I can think about was the 20 times that Patrick and I showed up at the same place at the same time wearing the same thing, right? I mean, he had this jacket, t-shirt, jeans, New Balance that the kids make fun of. Uh-huh. He's got a pair of green New Balance, by the way. Those are so awesome. But anyway,
okay.
I just wanted to say to the Powers family, we love you. And our brother Patrick, we love you. My wife would like to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, well, huh? Oh, so our sweet Amanda married Patrick, and we are the Outlaws. That's what we call ourselves. But so I pulled this picture up because it's just basically the epitome. We knew Patrick from Friends, but this is, he's looking at my child come down the aisle. And, so, no, I can't do it. Anyway, I just was thinking about how grateful I am for the 18 years and how impactful, because some people, we lose right away, and there's no rhyme or reason. But some are with us for 18 years. So I was just extremely grateful for the 18 years of this man loving these children to the point that they are who they are, and they are equipped and able to love someone else that is not their own like that. And I still can't believe it. I don't think I cried like that, did I? Anyway, so I just obviously thank you, Brenda, for the wonderful children that you've made, but also just thank you, Patrick, and thank you, God, for the 18 years.
All right. Hi, I'm Juan Hernandez, and I was Patrick's friend. I was thankful that I was able to be there for him. You know, there was a lot of ways where I just felt like, you know, I knew Patrick. And let me tell you how I met Patrick. To tell you the truth, it was here at a community meeting. It was right out there in the lobby, and I was kind of just milling around, looking around, and here I see him hobbling up. Coming up to me. I'm like, oh, wow, look at this guy. He says, hi, I'm Herman Hinklefinger. I said, oh, how you doing, Mr. Hinklefinger? And I'm kind of, this guy, this is unreal. But I'm sitting there talking to him. I'm giving him a lay down of who I am and how I know the people here. And, you know, so I was pretty much done. I was dating my wife at the time, and I saw her walk by, and I go, oh, yeah, well, hey, there goes my wife. My girlfriend. I'm going to go ahead and talk to her. And he said, okay, well, it's nice meeting you. And I said, you too, Herman. Walk away, and my girlfriend at the time, my wife, she says, I see you met Patrick. I said, no, I just talked to Herman Hinklefinger. And she goes, no, that's not who that is. That's Patrick Powers. And I said, oh, this guy. At that point, I had prided myself on not getting, you know, taken for or joke, you know, just pranked, you know, punked, as they might call it. But he got me good. He got me real good. And I had an admiration for him from that day on. But yes, really, you know, it just, he intrigued me and definitely, you know, had my attention. But as I got to see him more and more, it didn't matter how much he hobbled here or there. He was doing it all. He was doing whatever he could. He just was not, he would not give up. He was not the type of person to give up. You know, and so, you know, I prayed more that, you know, I could help this guy out. And the Lord likes to answer your prayers. You know that, right? So he answered mine, and I was able to help out and stay with him one day a week. And that was really, you know, something I thought I was doing for him. Really, I didn't know the Lord put him in my life to do that for me. You know, he showed me faith and hope and love, and he gave me a lot of it. He gave me a lot of it. And not only that, I got to see it reflected in all the eyes and the actions of his family. You know, there were so many times where you guys even told him, don't move. You know, you call us, ring the bell, do something, you know, before you try to get up, because he was going to be on the ground. But still, you know, he would not give up. He would try as hard as he could to do what he could. Even in the last, you know, 3 weeks there that I had spent with him, there was one point where he got up in the bed. I mean, he was pretty much just in the bed all the time, laying down, did not get up. A lot of times was not very interactive. And I swear sometimes he did this more whenever I was around, just to kind of show me how tough he was. You know, because it really, I thought, man, you're just showing off. You're just showing off. Quit it. But you couldn't tell him that. You know, even as much as I tried to tell him, hey, I know your mind is strong and wants to do these things, but your body is just not going to cooperate with you, buddy. It didn't matter. He was going to do it. He was going to find a way to do it. But, you know, the last week that I did spend with him, and I was praying with him, it was really kind of like I didn't have any interaction with them. And it was really sad for me because I didn't have that. But I did just like we always did, read the, you know, daily readings. I'm sure many of you have done that. And then when 3 o'clock came around, we'd pray the chaplet. But, you know, he was really kind of unresponsive through the whole time I was there. But as soon as I began praying the chaplet, he saw his hand pop up. his hand pops up, and I'm like, oh, that's him participating right there. That's just him letting me know, you know, I'm here. I'm here with you on this prayer. So it was a wonderful thing to be able to have just that little bit, because no matter what, he gave me every bit of what he had as far as faith, hope, and love. Thank you.
Well, it's a great honor to be here. My kids give me grief because I write things out, but if I don't write things out, then I'll be here for like an hour. So we don't want to do that. So this is no more than 5 minutes, I promise. But my name is Mike Behan, and my wife Rosemary and I met the Powers at through the Highland School. So in some way, I kind of represent the Highland School a little bit. But I also represent their basketball program, because that's when we really met Patrick Powers. My son, John, he's back here somewhere. I saw him come in. And Patrick, we're good buddies. And this is around 2011, so I met him about 10 years ago. We soon realized, Patrick and I, that we had many other things in common, like our Irish heritage. And, you know, we would never argue about our Irish heritage because, you know, I sing in an Irish band. You know, there's no way, you know. But then I find out his birthday is on St. Patrick's Day, and he's named Patrick. So he won that one. But we also had a great love for the Holy Eucharist. We both had a strong desire to see our children faithfully catechized in the fullness of truth that is Jesus Christ in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And then there were a couple other things, like my brother Joe Behan, Dr. Joe Behan. He actually was there at the birth of our little Max here. And then, of course, there's another little connection. This Amanda person, Kathleen is my sister, by the way. Amanda Treadway meets Mr. Powers. You know, again, this is 10 years ago. So we're right there at the beginning of that. We also discovered that the Powers lived in Grand Prairie off of Sunnyvale, which is right in the old stomping grounds of the Knights of Columbus where I grew up. So this is like, you know, all these things are hitting, you know, way too many coincidences, right? It just happened to also be on the way to the Highlands from where we live. And so at the time, it was really convenient when they needed some help that I was able to give John Paul here and Mandy sometimes a ride to school. So, you know, page two. Along with my daughter Rose, how could I forget? I like to think that I was able to show them some common sense driving skills, you know, the habits and rules of the road and all that kind of stuff. You remember the time we did the donuts in the Highland School parking lot, right? So, you know, I showed them how to do that. So many good memories, especially the awesome wedding, what can I say, in the days before COVID, when the Behan Treadway Powers family could get together and make a really awesome spectacle of ourselves in front of everybody. But another time that we had together was when, again, back to our love of the Holy Eucharist, Patrick would go with me to Harris Methodist Hospital in Fort Worth on Thursdays, where Father George did, he was the hospital minister, he would do the Catholic Mass there. And we called it Harris Methodist Catholic Church. And so Patrick came and experienced that with us, and it was often just me, Father, and Patrick. And he would hold up the Holy Eucharist and break it in half, hand it to us, you know. It's very beautiful. Father George was awesome, but on the drive there and back and forth, we would discuss current events and technology, the church, and theology. And one of those discussions that stands out was our discussion of the salvific nature of suffering, how through joining our suffering with Christ on the cross, we can bring grace to the souls on earth and to the souls in purgatory. Patrick fully understood this. He lived it. Father George said this about Patrick after he heard that Patrick had passed. Sorry to hear about Patrick. May his soul rest in peace. He was a great soul. He didn't show in any way that he was sick and suffering. May the Lord give him eternal rest. Well, the final point I would like to make is that we were blessed to bring Patrick Holy Communion. My wife, Rosemary's communion minister. And when we'd go up to, and we often at the 11 o'clock mass at St. Patrick's in Fort Worth, Bishop Olson was there. And every time Bishop Olson gave Rosemary a Eucharist to give to Patrick, he said, tell Patrick, I'm praying for him. Patrick loved receiving the Eucharist and also loved the St. Thomas Aquinas after communion prayer that we prayed. You have to look that one up. I have to mention the Gospel of Life dwelling, the Gold Home, where he spent his last weeks. It's a beautiful Catholic environment full of beautiful Catholic servants. On what would be Patrick's last day on this earth, Rosemary and I arrived at around 1 p.m., and we were there just in time to see two of the folks from the Gold Home giving him Holy Eucharist after Mass. They were very excited to see us, and they said, you have to pray with Patrick. Right now, he just received the Holy Eucharist. Well, didn't really know what to do, but we let the Holy Spirit lead us. And believe me, we prayed and prayed and prayed for the Powers family, for Brenda's family, all the way back to Adam and Eve. I'm telling you, the souls in purgatory heard us that day if there were any from those two families. All right, last thing, if I can find it. Yep. I'll leave you with this. On that day that we cross over, God willing, I know that because of the salvific nature of suffering, we're going to have to get in line to see Patrick. Because there's going to be so many, many, many people still in line telling him thank you for what they received from him, the gift that he gave them. God bless you all.
Howdy. My name is Scott Harmon, and I consider Patrick, along with all the other Christian brothers that I know, I considered him beyond that to be my brother. And Patrick and I had a lot of good times together, a lot of good times with his family. And when we were blessed with taking over youth ministry, Patrick joined with us, and we would go on trips. I'd be in the front driving the big red with the trailer being pulled behind me, and Patrick would be behind in another van. And time always comes to my mind, we were in a construction zone, and the right lane was closed with all these cones, and I'm driving along. Look in my rearview mirror, and I see Patrick weaving in and out of the cones. I pull over and pull him up next to me, and we get out and say, Patrick, that's not, you can't do that. You got to be a good example for these kids. And he said, well, I just thought it'd be a fun thing to do. I said, it would have been a fun thing to do, but who's going to pay the ticket if you're caught? You know, and there were so many times like that. He was with us on so much. And if you didn't know it, Patrick had talents that probably most of you do not know. Things like he could put a whole New York deli piece of pizza in his mouth at one time. He could he could do things with spaghetti that you don't want to know. And when we first started working together, I went to him one time and I said, Patrick, I have to be the disciplinarian here. And I'm trying to keep these kids to where they listen when someone's talking and doing things. And when you're back there doing your handstands, that is disruptive. Okay? I don't think he realized it. And his response to me was the purest response of Patrick that I know of. He said, well, Scott, you just have to understand me. And that's the way it was. And we did understand each other. We had the blessing of getting to go see him several times after he took his turn. And we would always, it was always Scripture. It was always Jesus. Before that, back in, I guess it was 2019, when he called me one day and he said, can you come and talk to me? And I said, sure, what are we going to talk about? He said, just come, talk to me. I prayed and the Lord told me to call you. And when I went over there, he had had his stroke. And he looked at me and with all seriousness and he said, why am I here? What is my point at this time of being alive? I can't do anything. People have to do so much for me. And I said, Patrick, you're here because God loves you and wants you here. It's not time yet for you to go home. And he said, but I can't do anything. And I said, oh, yes, you can. You can continue being the awesome father you are. You can continue being the gift you are to everyone that knows you and meets you. You can continue praying. And you can continue being my friend. And I don't want you to go. I'm not ready yet. And I know your family's not ready. And after that, the Lord would give me scriptures to go over with him. And we met every week for a while until last year with COVID. And then we had to stop. And I miss that so much with him. And he and I never had the same conversations after that. But the best thing I can say about Patrick is he was one of my many blessings from God to get to know him and to get to know how to understand him. And that was a blessing in itself. My wife, Jemaine, would like to say something.
Well, I just wanted to end with something kind of funny. We have a standing joke at our house. It's, well, Patrick would understand. Or Patrick would think it was funny. You see, he loves puns and dumb jokes. He just found a website that gave several dad jokes every day. And so he was telling me all these dad jokes, and I was going, oh, gosh. And he said, I would not laugh. And he said, well, Patrick would understand. Patrick would think it was funny. And I'd say, well, go call Patrick. Last week when he did that, I realized we couldn't call Patrick anymore. But I know he's up there laughing with us. Or with you. I'm not laughing.
That actually started because Patrick and I were laughing about something one day when I was going over there regularly, and he said, you know, I tell Brenda all the time when she thinks it's just dumb and stupid, Scott would understand. So I went home saying, when she would make fun of my awesome jokes, that Patrick would understand, and he would. But we thank you. We thank you all for the blessing of sharing Patrick with us. Brenda, I can't, all I can tell you is God is still 100% with you. And I know you know it. And I guess another reason that we understood each other so much is all the years that my wife has had to put up with my problems, bad leg and losing a leg and surgery afterwards. And it was just like Brenda taking care. And I could always relate that to Patrick. She doesn't do it because she has to. She does it because she loves you. And I think that's what got his mind turned around, thrilling how much loved he was. God bless y'all. And I don't mean to be rude to anybody, but I've had a rough day, and we're going to adios. God bless you. I didn't get to see my brother, so I'm just looking. Oh, knocked something over.
Good evening. My name is Doug Weisbrook. It's been a while since I've been back to community. It's great to see you guys. Just have one quick story about Patrick I wanted to share with you. I had kind of a really neat moment with him. I'd connected again with Brenda and Patrick. We'd sort of like dated through high. Anyway, Patrick was like way too good looking. She was like, no thanks. Anyway, but anyway, so. My wife, Marcella, and I went to, before we were all married, we went to Six Flags, had a great time with them there. And so, like, kind of, you know, kind of being a couple and then getting married and then getting married and then having kids and then having kids and then being apart and reconnecting at a wedding. Patrick asked me to come over. I'd had a job change. I was doing a new career. And he asked me to come over and look at some things for some financial, just to kind of look over some things. And so we set up a time, and it was a month out. And, you know, I was like, great. And I set it in my little phone that is so handy, battery would always run down, but I put it, you know, I was like, so, and I put the time wrong in my clock, so I showed up at his house half an hour early. He kind of came out, and he wasn't quite ready, you know, like, I mean, he was still moving around and everything, and so we got to visit, and he said, I think you're like a half an hour early, and I said, nah, I'm sorry, man, I've never been early, so this is, God must be up to something. And then we sit down, we're at the table, and he starts saying, you know, my chest is kind of hurting, you know, I kind of fell last night, but my chest is kind of hurting. And he said, would you take me back to my bedroom? And nobody else is in the house. And, you know, I mean, it's been a long time since I've hung out with him. So I don't really know. And I'm not good at this. And so I'm taking him back to his room. And he's like, I took my blood pressure, but I think, you know, my chest is kind of tight. And I was like, well, this is kind of interesting. He's like, get some shorts out for my, you know, out of the drawer over there. Come, you know, mind helping me put them on? I'm like, whoa, okay. So I'm helping him get his shorts on, and I'm like, it's been a long time, Patrick, you're looking good. And so Patrick then, you know, he like lays down on his bed, and he said, I think you need to call 911. And I'm like, well, he said, I think I'm having a heart attack. And I was like, you've had a brain cancer. You can't have a heart attack. I mean, come on, God, what are you doing? That's so uncool. Anyway, so I get my phone out, and I'm like, I had to call information to get the number to 911 because I was really kind of freaking out, you know. And so I'm like, anyway, and then my phone isn't working, so I have to use his phone. But it's an iPhone, and I'm like, technically inept. And so I'm trying to get it open, and what's your password? And he's laying there, and I'm, oh my God. And he said, if I lose consciousness, will you kiss me? And I'm like, no, I won't kiss you. And no, I said, I'll do whatever I got to do. So we got 911 on the phone. The firemen showed up. They said, get the door open, put the dog away, make sure he has shorts on. I'm like, yes, check, check, check. Door's open. They come running in, and they're all in their muscly shirts. And they're, we're here to save everybody, you know? And I'm like, wow, these guys are cool. They're cool. And so I've become a paramedic. No, I'm just kidding. But so they take it in, and we go in there, and they're working with him. And they're like, sir, what's your name? And guess what he said? Herman Hinkelfinger, that's right. And so I'm kind of like trying to get Brenda on his phone, and I hear him saying that, and I'm like, oh, I'll let him go with it. You know, so like, so tell us, Herman, you got, you know, they're doing their thing, and they're putting their EKG on there, and they're like, yeah, you are having a heart attack, and we sent it here, and we're going to send you to this hospital. And I'm like, where are you going? I got to get her wife on this phone. Patrick, what's your password again? You know, and so it was just kind of hilarious in a great way. And so, but his attitude through the whole thing was he was in charge. He was the coolest head in the room. He was joking around with the paramedics, and I was like freaking out going, what do I do? And it was so cool. So I got Brenda. We found out where we were going, and I was at the hospital with her visiting, and we got a note after the procedure was done. He was in great shape. They put a stent in. Everything was good. They said he needs to eat less, you know, saturated fats and quit smoking. So we're like, he drinks wheatgrass juice, you know. He doesn't do a lot of smoking. So, and they put a stint in, and then he sent a note out to his wife to assure her. And the note had two words on it, Herman Hinkelfinger. So we knew he was in good spirits. He went up to his room. I got to hang out with him for a little while that afternoon. I got to feed him lunch and hang out with Tim and a couple of the other family members that came in, and it was beautiful. And just one last thing, his oxygen tube kind of fell down, and so I was like, oh, let me help you, you know. And so I reach up and I adjust it, and I'm getting in there, and he just goes, you know. So he snapped at me, and I was like, whoa. And, it was awesome, and I just appreciate it. That was a really tremendous moment, and just Patrick was a joy, and he brought joy and life to all of us. And just one last thing, you guys know what I've been through the last several years and the beautiful things that God has done in my life, the way the Lord has restored our family after losing Marcella. And I promise God has purpose in this, and that if you cling to him and in those dark moments and those sad moments, I mean, it's for all of us, in those sad moments, instead of running away from that pain, inviting Jesus into it. And the thing we just sang, I'm just kidding, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Just let that be your slogan in those really dark moments. And thank you for letting me share with you guys tonight. God bless you.
Hi, my name's George Johnston. Patrick's one of Patrick's brothers-in-laws. And I want to share with you just a little bit. I was thinking and praying about Patrick, as all of us were this last year, and a song came to me. And it's an old song that they made a very successful movie about and a Broadway show about, so you may recognize it. But as the song was coming to me, I realized it's a song about Patrick. And I want to share it with you. To dream the impossible dream. To fight the unbeatable foe. To bear with unbearable sorrow. To run where the brave dare not go. To right the unrightable wrong. To love pure and chaste from afar. To try when your arms are too weary. To reach the unreachable star. This is my quest. To follow that star. No matter how hopeless. No matter how far. To fight for the right. Without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know, if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this. And one man, sore and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to fight the unbeatable foe, to reach the unreachable star. The star has a lot of meaning for us Christians, right? It was a star that announced the coming of our Savior. If you've been around Patrick much at all, he'll tell you, and most of us probably have heard this, this cancer will take my life someday if the Lord doesn't choose to heal me. Now, I believe the Lord always answers prayer, but his answer was, I'm taking you, Patrick, to me. Patrick never let that stop him. In fact, they said 5 years is the average expectancy. He went over 18. They told him back last September, 2 to 4 months. Here we are, a year later. Patrick also told me, he says, George, I'm not normal, and these are for normal people, so. I think we can think of many reasons, but I think there's two basic reasons for why 18 years. Why did he struggle when a lot of people would have given up? Most of us, probably. One, he was a triathlete. He ran races, distance races, swimming, cycling. He was in tremendous physical condition. Great body. He always worked it hard. But he also worked the spiritual life, his mind, his soul, his spirit. He worked that hard too. And I think that's almost the bigger reason. We've been hearing this from other people here about his faith. You know, a lot of us have faith, but he worked it. I remember just this last April, I was visiting with him, and he goes, you know, George, my eyes are getting kind of bad. I can't read my phone. Can you just work with one of these lists of mine on the scriptures? Because I like to memorize the scriptures. And I go, okay. So I got his phone out, and, John 10:10, and Patrick goes, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, and I go like Matthew 6:33, and he go, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And I did that about 10, 12 times, and all down, and he just was reading them off, and I finally looked at him and said, Patrick, you do have brain cancer, don't you? He kind of laughed at me and said, yeah. He says, but, you know, when I have some downtime, I've always wanted to. So when I'm waiting for an appointment or something, I would just pull out and just go over some of the scriptures. That's working your faith. He worked it. And I think we all admired him for that. I know he had such a wonderful time just this last year, next month, when we had his going away party. I thank all of you for all of what you did for him, because I know he was just so happy to see all his friends, all of us come and say goodbye to him. The Behan band was playing, you know, the God's Delight put on a wonderful, you know, the Mount St. Michael's. It was wonderful. But that's Patrick. He wanted to live life to the fullest. He wanted to be there for the kids. He wanted to give everything he had. This song is about the mythical knight, Don Quixote. And if you know much about him, he had an unbeatable foe, just like Patrick. But Don Quixote didn't give up. Patrick didn't. He believed, if God gave me this, it's for a reason, and he'll see me through it. So just like the knight, I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this. And one man, sore and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to fight the unbeatable foe. Because he knew God was going to give him victory ultimately over this, and he does. He's free of that cancer now. He's been healed. And someday, at the end of days, he'll get his body back too. And it'll be perfect. And he'll be able to run his marathons again.
So I'm Randy Johnston. I'm Brenda's brother. I really struggled because I've known Patrick for a very long time, and there were so many thoughts and directions and things that I thought about that I could say. And I thought, well, I think what this really was, it was Patrick Powers versus anaplastic astrocytoma cancer. Cancer, does it, it picks us. We don't pick it. It comes looking for a fight. It had no idea who it was taking on when it took on Patrick Powers. I think cancer might have regretted that decision at some point because it was a foe that did not lay down like most people. This was a cancer that takes people very quickly. He was not about to be one of those people. He beat all the odds and took it on at every turn, never looking back and never feeling sorry for himself or feeling like, why me? Never once did I ever hear him say that. He was a man who said, if God chose this fight for me, I'll fight it. And God had a reason. He wanted to teach us He wanted to teach us about suffering and how to do that the right way. And how suffering can make you stronger. Patrick fought cancer in every way. His legacy will live on through his children. And I look forward to that. He'll be remembered for his incredible spirit, his sense of humor, and his ability to have mental toughness that I consider legendary. He's teaching St. Peter how to do backflips right now.
I'm Neil Coward, and I had the privilege of knowing Patrick in the community for a number of years. And everything said here tonight about him, I can relate to. Back in the 90s, I believe it was, we took a journey down the Brazos River on inner tubes. Patrick and his brother Michael was along. And Patrick never missed an opportunity to make us think there was something wrong or to crack a joke or to whatever it was. I mean, he really just brought a lot of life to it, where we rode the inner tubes down and then they brought us back in a van to where we started. But it was really a joy. But then I was thinking, listening tonight to everything that was shared about Patrick, and the Lord brought to mind this scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 through 58. For that which is corruptible, which is our human lives, must clothe itself with incorruptibility, which is the Lord, and that which is mortal must clothe itself with immortality. And when this which is corruptible clothes itself with incorruptibility, and this which is mortal clothes itself with immortality, then the word that is written shall come about. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? We've witnessed it here tonight. There doesn't seem to be much sting of death here. Yes, we'll all miss Patrick, especially his family. But yet, there was a great legacy left of walking with the Lord. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, be firm, steadfast, always devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And I think we can all say Patrick's labor in being clothed with immortality, being clothed with the Lord, was not in vain for himself, his family, and for all of us.
Thanks, everyone, for all the many, many years of help and love that this community has provided to Patrick and Brenda and the kids. I'm Sarah, his older sister, and it's such a treat for my mom and brother and Nicole and myself just to feel the love from everyone here. So thank you very, very much. And a cute story about Patrick. I've got a million. When we were in college, he used to say, "Sarah, you know what you should do? Do you know what you should do, Sarah?" I'm like, "Quit telling me what I should do." And then you fast forward maybe a decade, and I would call Patrick and say, "Hey, Patrick, I need you to tell me what I should do." And so that just proves that his wisdom and his leadership and his friendship are so very valuable. And he and I were great friends, and Michael and I, we all have a great sibling relationship. We were on the rooftop of our lake cabin as little ones, and we convinced Michael that we were bionic, that we bent the roof vent, the one that's, you know, easy to bend. If you're ever on a roof, there's one there that's easy to bend. And we tricked Michael, and that was just part of the fun that we had together as siblings all these years. But my final thing would be, even though Patrick was pretty busy these last 18 years and with a large family and community, he always made time to check on his old sister, Sarah. And how's your job going? How's this? How's that? And step up as a big brother figure when he needed to. And last March, he and Brenda were asking how they could pray for me in my new job. And I thought, hey, I need to be praying for all this going on. But thank you so much, everyone, for all your prayers and love. And I know we'll all really miss him.
It's an honor to be here. My name is Andrew Gill, and had the great honor of being able to be his counselor and help him through this journey as well as the family. And I love all of you over there. And I wanted to basically just share a prayer. I changed jurisdictions from the Roman church to the Byzantine church. And so I have a prayer that's Byzantine that I wanted to share. And then I'll just make a few comments. So this is actually a hymn from St. John of the Ladder, if you know that saint. What earthly delight endures unmingled with grief? What earthly glory remains immutable? All things are less than a shadow, more deluding than a dream. In a single moment, all these are effaced by death. But in the light of your countenance, O Christ, and in the enjoyment of your beauty, grant rest to the one whom you have chosen, for you love mankind. As a flower withers and a shadow passes, so every man will die. But when the trumpet sounds, the dead will rise again as in an earthquake to meet you, O Christ our God. Then, O Master, place in the abode of your saints the soul of your servant whom you have taken from us. Oh, what an ordeal must the soul endure when it parts from the body. Oh, how profusely that soul weeps, and there is no one to show it pity. It turns its eyes to the angels, and its prayer is in vain. It extends its hands to men and finds no one to help. Therefore, my beloved brethren, considering the brevity of our life, let us beseech from Christ mercy for our souls. All is vanity in man that does not outlive death. Neither riches endure, nor does glory survive. For with the coming of death, all these are destroyed. Let us exclaim to Christ the immortal, grant rest to the departed servant and the dwelling of those enjoying happiness. I think it's a very powerful hymn that was written a long time ago. To as we embrace the mystery of Patrick's death and what it means to us individually, I don't want to say much, but I want to say that there are so many experiences of miracles around Patrick's life and death, and I think that that's something that will continue as we take this journey through this grieving time with Patrick. What comes to my mind is that I experienced Patrick and all of his children in different ways, and I think that Patrick definitely has left a legacy, a balance. I think that's something that really stands out to me about Patrick's life is that he lived a good balance in his life, being able to understand that life is not so serious, but also life is not all, you know, silliness. And I think that that's something that we can all take from Patrick's life and bring into our own life is that, you know, we can become very rigid at times about things in life, or we can become too loose. And I think that he exemplified to us this way of being able to live in the middle and kind of centered in a way. So thank you so much for letting me share, and it's an honor again to be here, and I hope to be at the funeral as well to grieve with the family and with all of you.
Howdy, everyone. For any of you who don't know me, I'm the middle child. I'll just leave it at that. And I was sitting there. I wasn't planning on coming up. But during these sharings, I've gotten something that I felt in me that I used to feel a lot when I was younger at community. Some of you might remember very small John Paul going up to the middle and sharing during community services. And during these sharings, I felt that I should touch on one of my dad's main things that he really believed in, really lived, and something that I took for granted for most of my life and didn't realize that most people are not raised with a focus and attention on the scriptures. Like dad had. Even as kids, before we could go on any screens, we would have to read the Bible for 10 minutes. On the way to Mass every single Sunday, we would memorize scripture verses and recite them, and we would add on new ones, and eventually we'd have 12 and then 15. And it was something that I always just saw as normal. And then it wasn't until kind of just you're an adult, a Catholic adult. You care about the scriptures. It seemed normal to me. Until this past year, whenever I was taking care of him one day, it was a normal day where he couldn't do much himself. And we got him, he showered and got him dressed and made a shake. And he had all these things that we'd take for granted that we have, that he had all these things to worry about, like how he was going to get dressed and how he was going to get showered and all these different things. And he was living in hospice, which is, you're supposed to just be comfortable. That's what we were always told. And after all this, he pulls out the lists, and they were lists. He had like five or six of them, and each list had a bunch of scripture verses, and he knew so much scripture, and he spent his last time on earth making sure he knew the scriptures. And I just felt like I needed to come up here and highlight that for you guys. And I really felt like some people definitely needed to hear that. And I think we could all get a lot out of the scriptures like he clearly did. So thank you.
This just occurred to me, so that's the reason why I'm up here. We played out there, I guess it was this past May. Is that when it was? Last October? Okay. So my brother asked me if I could download a digital clip of one of the songs that you guys were going to use, maybe tonight, but maybe you can still do it tomorrow. But I told Michael, no, I can't do that. But I could probably look for a CD and see if I could find it. So before it came out here, I found it, and the fourth song on here, no. Fifth song on here is Welcome Poor Patty Home. You may not be able to hear it tonight. I'm going to give it to you. You can listen to it. But the reason I had to get up here was because that's Rusty George, who sang that song. And we lost him just a few months ago. And it occurred to me, and I wanted to tell you that Rusty sang it to him just a few days ago. And God bless them both.
My name is Sue, and I'm a neighbor with the Powers, and our kids came to school together here and all. And I just want to reiterate a little bit more about the scripture, John Paul, what a blessing. I had the blessing to drive Patrick to some of his appointments, and so we would have some time waiting for appointments. And he would always carry his little fanny pack, and he would have a couple things in his fanny pack that he knew he might need. And one of the things in there was a stack of 3x5 cards. And so, like he asked some of the other people who have been helping him, he said, Sue, will you help pull this out? And will you start grilling me on these scriptures? And he said, on one side is the reference, the chapter and the verse. and the other side is the actual scripture. And he said, so, okay, just start with some of them and just tell me the scripture. And he, I would say, you know, 1 Peter 3:14, and he would just rattle off the scripture. And he said, okay, do another one. He would rattle it off. Another one, again, again, again. And this was a big stack. And sometimes he'd say, flip it over and read the scripture, and I'll tell you the chapter and the verse. And he did all of those perfectly. And so I was impressed, and I said, Patrick, you know, how long have you been doing this? And he said, and I'm trying to remember, but I think he said, you know, decades ago, back in college, or he started years ago. And he said, yeah, that's just one of my packs. I have a variety of these. And so it was just very impressive to me, as some of you are saying, that he had deep faith and hope and love and charity. And it truly was part of him. It wasn't just head knowledge. It wasn't just like he's blessed with a great personality and like naturally joyful, but he had a depth of scripture and the word of God. And these were from the Old Testament and the New Testament and pertinent to, you know, happy things or sad things. And they were just deep in him. And those are really a reflection of who Patrick is as a person and how much he loves the Lord and loves scripture and wanted to live by that. And so I think when we visit him sometimes at his home and during some of those tough times, he would naturally, if we're talking about something, he would just naturally come out with a scripture. Like the scripture would just come out of him, out of his heart, out of his mind. So he kind of thought like the Lord would think in all these different situations. So for me, it's a motivation to say, you know, like you said, he worked at it. He didn't just think of himself as a Christian, but he worked it. And it's a good encouragement for us to take that seriously and work our faith and, you know, work hard to be not just superficial, but deep, deep Christians.
So I did not plan on coming up here, so please bear with me. I love you guys. For those that don't know, my name is Maddie White. I am from the Johnston clan. Patrick was an incredible uncle. And I could go through a million amazing stories like all of you had to express how fun he was and all of the ridiculous things we would do together that would get one or both of us in trouble. all of the, you know, I mean, he was just an incredible man with all kinds of talents, and I think we've all really spoken to that today. But one thing I was really kind of, and I guess I felt a pull to come share one specific story that comes to mind that I think is a really good example of who my uncle was. So I had a son at the beginning of COVID, COVID messed everything up. And it took a while for my family to get to meet my baby. And as all of you know, with Uncle Patrick, we were constantly getting timelines. You know, he's not going to make it to Christmas. He's got another year. He's got 2 months. To the point that we all kind of started joking about it. He's got 2 weeks, you know, like, sure enough. I mean, he did his goodbye tour, what, a year ago now? But back in May, we all thought, you know, this one really was it, and I really wanted Patrick to meet Judah. It was really important to me. Patrick was such a huge part of my childhood, and like we've all been saying, he was such an amazing person. So my sister and I brought our kids over to meet Uncle Patrick, and when we came over, he wasn't having a great day. He wasn't all there, but we sat with him, and we talked, and he kind of participated in his own way, and my son was fascinated, and he stood by the side of the bed and kept reaching up and touching Uncle Patrick's hand, and he would hold his little hand. My son wasn't even a year yet. He was just pulling himself up, and I had mentioned to my Aunt Brenda that Judah was learning to blow kisses. And this is how he said hello and goodbye, just blew a kiss. But he hadn't figured out the direction of it yet. So you'd be like, hey, can I have a kiss? And he's like, and you're behind him. And he's like, okay, that works. And Uncle Patrick must have heard this because he started blowing kisses. And so Judah would blow a kiss, and Patrick would blow a kiss, and Judah would blow another one, and Patrick would blow another one. And this went on, I don't know, at least 2 solid minutes of them just blowing each other kisses. And it was just such, it was so amazing that my uncle, who doesn't know my son, and this is the first time he got to meet him, and for Judah, this was one of the only times that he really got to spend time with Patrick. And he just showered him in love, the way that he did with me my entire childhood. And I thought that was really beautiful.
And scattered all over our land, the horse and the cow, the goat, sheep and sow came into this strange's land.
Hooray, me boys, hooray! No more do I wish for to roam, for the sun it will shine in the harvest time to welcome for.
Scotland can boast of the thistle, and England's in love with the rose, but Paddy can boast of the emerald isle where the dear little shamrock grows.
The rainy boroughs array, no more do I wish for to roam, for the sun it will shine in
test. Okay, yeah. Is there anybody else that would like to share before we wrap up this evening?
Good evening. I wasn't blessed to hear most of what you shared because I was stuck in traffic from Oklahoma City, but I offered it up. And just wanted to say, my name is Sister Mary of the Trinity, and I've been a consecrated woman and for 31 years of vows and blessed to walk with many people at the end of their life. And I don't think I've ever felt so blessed in such a short amount of time by just beautiful, simple encounters that we had with Patrick. And we got Patrick was just with us at the Gospel of Life Dwelling for 6 weeks. But it was like a snapshot of eternity. And as you were speaking of scripture, the only reason I got up was I wanted to share what kept coming to me is unless we become like a little child, we cannot enter the kingdom. And even when he was the day before he died, he kept looking younger and younger and younger, which sounds strange because his body was getting weaker, but it was like St. Paul who says the outer man, you know, may be going to his ruin, but the inner man is renewed, rejuvenated. And that's what I experienced in Patrick. I wasn't blessed like a lot of you to know him for so many years, but to encounter his beautiful spouse, his family, good friends that came by, just in the short encounters that might have, was not only spoke volumes, but it touched volumes of depths of like a booster shot of, darn it, it's great to want to go to heaven and seek first the kingdom. Like, let's not get all bogged down. You know, it's important building the kingdom here, but how much more so? Like, Patrick just like set us back on what a blessing to be ready and to do so in such a full way. And certainly not that it was easy and not to make light of this long and hard journey, but I never saw him do a triathlon, but I couldn't help but think of St. Paul who said, I press forward to the crown that awaits me, the prize on high in Christ Jesus. And he finished the race so strong, so real, so beautiful, and so much like a little child that's ready for the kingdom. So I don't know what to say except to tell you that it certainly is more blessed to give than to receive, because we were just trying to help out in a situation so that Brenda could come back to school. And when I drove in here, I was like, wow, I've never been to Mount St. Michael, but I thought, what a great place. And impossible to find a parking in case they were. I was like, oh my gosh. But to be welcomed by warmth and, you know, like, what a blessing to even for 6 weeks have encountered and shared a bit of this journey with Patrick. I know I speak for Melena and Jesus that came in, and Rosa and Gordon are kind of motley little crew, you know, but I think that was what was so beautiful. I mean, if we look at the scriptures, the disciples were a motley crew, you know, and so it was just really beautiful to know that we're on this journey together, and heaven is our home. This world isn't, but thank you for sharing Patrick with us, and know of our prayers, and I don't know, what a blessing to have faith and to know that there's a fruit that wells up into eternal life. And I think we've all tasted that one way or another. And we certainly were blessed by the fruitfulness of Patrick Powers and his family. So thank you.
We gathered tonight to celebrate life. Patrick, as Sister said, has run the race. But if Patrick were here with us, he would be encouraging each one of us. And so I just leave you with the exhortation to ponder the words and the reflections and the witnesses and the testimonies and let them change you. The exhortation to embrace life in its fullest and its joy. The encouragement to flex our spiritual muscles. I echo everything John Paul said and just his life, and yes, as a testimony. Patrick impacted all of us. So tonight is about us taking that and making it a part of us when we go from this place, and to not forget him and to honor him by saying yes and being changed and transformed by his yes. The funeral will be tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at Mary Immaculate Catholic Church in Farmers Branch. There'll be a burial following at Calvary Hill on Lombardy Lane. Just be noted that there will not be a formal procession from the church to the burial. So we'll all just drive in our own cars and gather there to bury our brother. There will be a reception at Bob and Gretchen Montgomery's home. They're sitting over here waving their hands. If you need an address, it's 14636 Southern Pines Drive, also in Farmers Branch. So we're not headed back to Oak Cliff. A blessing. So we are going to end with a closing song. Thank you, John and Karen, for serving us this evening. And then the funeral home will be here to take care of Patrick. So it's been a blessing. I thank you all for being here and for honoring Patrick and sharing about his tremendous life. God bless you.
Thank you, David. So I invite everyone to stand. And this song is also a prayer. And God created Patrick's soul to live forever. And so let's sing this, uniting our souls with Patrick's soul, as I can just hear Patrick singing this to his Savior and our Savior. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider sings my soul. My
great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou.
Sings my soul.